A reading from Luke, book 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
Before I start the sermon officially, beginning in January, our sermon series for the season of Epiphany is going to be on gratitude. And there will be a book by Dana Butler Bass that we'll be recommending, and the sermon series will be based on that. But I want to offer a couple of things that I am very grateful for this morning, and I just didn't have time in the announcements. One is for this man, Tim Bodler, for whom these flowers are given and honored, because tomorrow is his 33rd life day. It represents 33 years ago tomorrow that he was told he had a week to live because of cancer. And here he is now. And you all can't see it because you face me, but what I can see up here are the bones, if you will, if you turn around you can see, of our new projectors that are being installed. They're not here yet. We still are using these. However, the way we're waiting on lenses and probably a bunch of other stuff that I don't understand because that's way above my pay grade. But here's whose pay grade it's not above. A man who volunteers with us day after day after day to help make sure that the AV here runs right. And that, and whose birthday it is today, Dave Whitaker. We're just so grateful for you. And finally, if you're not in our Hollywood United Methodist Church members Facebook group, please go on and join, because today I'll be posting the question, as I always do it, for my sermon prep for Thanksgiving Sunday, which I cannot believe is next Sunday, but it is. What are you grateful for? And that'll be a top 10 kind of thing that I do in the sermon. So please go on and post that. If you don't go on Facebook, you can email me. Please don't tell me at the door today, because I will not remember. I'm guarantee you. But email me or go on that book and answer that question later today. Now, this morning we continue our November sermon series, Enough, Living with Joy and Simplicity and Generosity. It's based upon Adam Hamilton's book of the same name, and it challenges our fears about where we find our greatest investments. And it challenges us to consider, when it comes to wealth, just how much is enough? We're on a journey to deepen our faith so that we are certain that God is enough in our lives. How we can truly discover joy not in things that we own, but through simplicity and generosity. And how to live out the words of Jesus, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I know, because I hear, talking about finances creates angst within us. We as a church have become used to thinking and acting as though our financial well-being or lack thereof has nothing to do with our faith, that there's no spiritual dimension to wealth, or its undue accumulation, or bad choices about finances that we sometimes make? Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because being good stewards of all that God has given us, including our calendars and our checkbooks, because they represent our time and our treasure, that's part of our journey as Christians. And sometimes we need to hear about it in church. And that's typically in November when we do a stewardship sermon series like this one, and that's typically when I hear, I don't want to talk about money in church. But now let's face reality here. Sometimes we don't want to talk about money and finances because we have strayed, right, from what we know we should do, and we've made some choices that we really don't want to talk about or face. Like, sometimes we just don't know where our money goes. We spend a dollar here, a latte there, a burger here, a mom, I need this for school tomorrow there. And by the end of the month, it seems like we just don't have anything left. Sometimes not even any credit on our cards. Money flows through our fingers, and even if it's not true for you, for I know it's not true for all of us, I dare say we all could be more careful with our money. And what is the primary money waster? Impulse buying. You ever wonder why they put what they put at the registers at the grocery store? Impulse buying. Now, this is the part of the sermon which I am going to confess that as I preach to you all, I'm preaching to myself as well. And it's not in all areas. I truly can walk into a grocery store or a Target, have a list, and I can stick to it. I can shop online and not get distracted by all the pop-up ads and the bright, shiny objects that it encourages me to buy. But when it comes to Bruce, I am completely and utterly helpless. So, as many of you know, last February, I flew to New York City to see Springsteen on Broadway. And yes, it was an impulse buy. Oh, it was a real impulse buy. And I was able to rationalize everything. New York City is cheap to stay in February. I get to see my son Josh, because he'll come down from Boston. Oh, I'll pay for that too. Just come on down, Josh. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, because he's not going to be doing this forever. And we know he's not going to be touring for a while, because he's in New York, so I should really see him now. You know, this will be my Christmas and birthday present for at least the next 5 years. But here's the one. I work so hard, I deserve this. Now, I'm not going to lie. It was the best show I've ever seen. It was better than Wicked, Tim Bodler. I'm just saying. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. That was in February. By mid-July, it seems like every appliance in my house had decided to give up the ghost in the same year. So a new HVAC system, a new clothes dryer, new tires for my car, and a few other big-ticket items that the staff kept laughing at me every staff meeting, saying, huh, what's broken now, Kathy? It all left me feeling incredibly foolish by the fall at some of my own choices. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Well, whether we're storing up costly experiences on Broadway or storing up costly possessions, Jesus is clear. He has not come to this earth to be an arbitrator over our individual financial situations. When a young man came to him and demanded that he tell his brother to divide up the family inheritance, Jesus said, no, I am not your judge. But then he went on to tell a parable about the reality of money. Because what we do with it and how it impacts our lives, that is important. A rich man was very successful farming to the point where his barns would not hold all of his harvest. Instead of giving away what was surplus, he decided that he would just simply tear down his existing barns and build new, bigger, better ones so that he could store all of the stuff that he owned. Jesus asked him point blank, "So what's going to happen with all this stuff when you die? If your life is demanded this very night, is this the right choice? The choice that corresponds with loving God and loving your neighbor, to store as much up for yourself as you can?" Jesus goes so far as to call him a fool and warns that while he won't be his judge, to be a Christian means to be rich towards God. Now, if we were to translate this parable into modern terms, we wouldn't be building barns here in the city. We'd be renting storage units. Self-storage is a $32 billion with a B industry. There are over 50,000 facilities in the United States. There are more self-storage units than there are McDonald's in the United States, more than there are Starbucks, more than there are McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Clearly, that's a wow kind of thing for me. Clearly, whether or not we have a storage unit, and I'm not talking for short term when you're moving back and forth, that's what they're meant for, but rather when we have one for the long term because we just can't keep all our stuff in our place, that's the time when we need to clarify our relationship with money and possessions. And we've seen the importance of that in just the past few days as too many of our brothers and sisters affected by these horrific fires have lost everything that they own. But what have we heard on the news, what those who have been most devastated said? They've all said to a person, "It's just things. They can all be replaced. What's important is that my loved ones, my dad, my mom, my animals, my kids, that we're all alive and that we're safe." We have a couple, Erica and Reagan, who are to be married next week, members of the church. Their wedding is scheduled for a venue in Malibu that the fire was scheduled to go right through. And last I heard from Erica on Friday night was, they live here in San Fernando Valley, but they said, "Well, is the church available? Because we may not be getting married in Malibu next week. But if I were that bride, I would be an absolute nervous wreck, I think." And she was just very calm. It's like, "We're just going to make a plan because we know we're going to get through this, because that's simply stuff and things." But yet, what's the message we keep getting from society on a daily basis, especially now as we're heading toward that, big shopping season? That our life purpose is not to love God, it's to consume. Consume and consume to make as much money as possible and then to spend as much money as possible. And contrast that with the clear messaging of Jesus. We were created to take care of God's creation. We were created to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. We were created to love our families and care for them and those in need. We were created to glorify God, to seek justice, to do mercy. We're not here, as the rich fool said to Jesus, to relax and eat, drink, and be merry. We have a higher purpose, which is not keeping up with the Joneses. This is a quote from Dave Ramsey, the Christian financial guru, if you will. "Tired of keeping up with the Joneses? They don't want you to know they're actually broke." That's what he said. We're called to use our resources to help care for our families and others, to serve Christ and the world through the church, through missions and those opportunities that present themselves every day. Now, another way of looking at this is how we define our blessings or what it means to be blessed by God. I've been privileged the past few years to hear the Reverend Otis Moss III speak at the Festival of Homiletics, it's a preaching conference I go to every May. He's the pastor of the Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. And this past May, he told this story. He said, "In this day and age when we love to talk about blessings, everybody on TV talks about blessings," and he's talking about TV preachers, "the big house, blessings. I'm here to tell you that the blessing is not what is material. That's just residue. That's not the blessing." He says, "My grandmother taught me that very clearly. When my grandmother was living, she used to make tea cakes. When I was 8, I used to be able to stand next to my grandmother when she was making these tea cakes. She made those tea cakes for me. They were my tea cakes, my blessing. Nobody else could get those tea cakes except for me. So I was standing next to my grandmother when she was making those tea cakes, and she would mix up the batter and pour it into a pan. She'd mix up that batter and she'd pour it into a pan, and then she'd say, take the bowl and said, okay, you can lick the residue, but don't eat too much of it, because your real blessing is in the oven. Sometimes we overdose on the residue. Your house, residue. Your clothes, residue. Even your job, residue. The real blessing is the power and presence of God. And we've got to focus people on what the real blessing is, to have a relationship with God. Not on this residue, because the residue doesn't have the nutrition to carry you through life's journey. Over the coming weeks, I want us to think about what is blessing and what is residue in your life for the coming year. What is the residue you can say enough to? What are the blessings of your time and your talent and your treasure that you can share with God and your neighbors? To help you in this process, the ushers are passing out a little worksheet entitled My Personal Commitment and Goals for 2019. So pass them out, Tim. The people don't have to raise their hands, just pass them out. Just like at school. This is for you to take home. This is not for you to turn in here. This is for you. For your own personal use to discern what is enough in your life. And while our focus in this sermon series is on what constitutes enough material stuff, there's another definition of enough that we need to consider, especially this week. This is a picture of the Clippers in their pregame warm-up gear yesterday. The Bucks wore the same for theirs. On the front, the t-shirts say, enough. And on the back, it has the names of the 12 innocent people who lost their lives at the Borderline Bar and Grill last Wednesday night. The last name on that list is Noelle Sparks, who is a youth leader at the Westlake Village United Methodist Church. My brothers and my sisters, we need to say enough to lives being lost so senselessly to gun violence. Amen. We need to say enough to our elected officials who send thoughts and prayers and then refuse to act on even the most benign gun safety laws. We need to say enough that weapons are the ultimate fool's gold. And if we continue as a society to place our trust in them, we will never break the cycle of gun violence. And God's heart will break even more as even more of God's beloved children die needlessly. So I pray that in addition to whatever commitments we make for our time and our talent and treasure in 2019, that we will also commit a portion of our time to working for a world with fewer guns and tougher access to them, and, not or, and greater mental health access for all. Let us say enough to the constant messages from society that values consumption over the care for one's neighbor. Let us say enough to acquiring more and more fool's gold, because that is not the life that God has called us to. Our lives, indeed, are more than the abundance of our possessions, or even more than the collection of our Springsteen concert experiences. We don't need more storage units or anything else. We need to discern God's purpose for our lives and live lives that are wise, compassionate, and rich towards God. Amen.